is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. News for your soul. Life-changing broadcasts to souls around the world since January 1997.
It's time for Heart Healer with Andrea Reibmeier. Andrea is a transformational coach, certified quantum healer, Reiki master, facilitator, and Wisdom of the Great Lakes Retreat founder. She's here to help us reconnect with our heart, soul, and divine abundance so we find all the answers we seek from within. Here's Andrea now.
Welcome. Welcome to the 33rd episode of Heart Healer on News for the Soul. This show is for mothers, mothers-to-be, mothers in all forms, people with mothers, pretty much everyone. This show is for everyone. My name is Andrea Reibmeier, and I assist people with more than just healing. It's about repairing, restoring, shifting, and transforming. It's about remembering your sovereignty in all forms, healing from the heart, healing your ancestral lineages, and remembering your origins. This show today is for mothers in all forms. It's going to be Mother's Day soon, and I thought it would be a great time to bring this topic, the heart of a mother, for today's show. I'd like to acknowledge that I'm doing this work in Sault Ste. Marie, Canada, by the Great Lakes, and this is the Robinson-Huron Treaty Territory, and the land on which our community is located is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe. I always open my podcast either with a meditation or some kind of sacredness, because I do really feel that this is a sacred group, sacred circle that we're in, whether you're listening to this live or on the replay. The vibration from these shows is to heal, and you are the healer. I'm here as a catalyst, as someone to, as a way shower, someone to hold the space, but really you're the healer. And if you're listening to the show, thank you, thank you, thank you for doing this work. I'd like you to visualize all of us together on the replay or live, in a circle. And this is a sacred circle, and I'm going to now open it from all directions, from the direction of the east, from the season of which we are now upon, from the element of air, from new beginnings, sunrises. And I open up from the east and deep gratitude to the energy of the east for this circle, for this space. I now open up the space from the south, the season of summer, the element of fire, creativity, warmth, the fire within, the fire around us, the fire within the circle. Deep gratitude to the south. I open up to the west. The west is the fall, the element of water, the water that flows through us all in all forms. And it is also the direction of the wise healed ancestors, and we bring them into this circle with deep gratitude. Thank you for the direction of the west. And now we face the direction of the north. The north is the season of winter. Slowing down, rejuvenation, regeneration, death, back to rebirth. It is the element of earth, grounded earth, the old hag, Kaliak. And this is the direction also of mothers, and so is the direction of all of them. Thank you very much to the north, from the birth, from the birthing to the youth, the ancestors, and then to our old age mothers. Deep gratitude. The sun is a circle. The moon is a circle. The earth is a circle. We are in a circle within a circle, and our hearts are in the center. I am a mother. I have a mother, and we are all part of the great mother, Mother Earth, the mother, the creator. And I really just want to acknowledge that. It's just not only about mothers. It's also about our connection with the great mother, Mother Earth. And today's show is about mothers in all forms, all shapes and sizes. And you can bring in your own perspective as you listen to this show, but I can only bring in mine. So today I can only give my perspective on being a mother, having a mother, and being part of Mother Earth. So in researching this iconic holiday, I was pleased to see how it originated in North America. And what we can do as mothers to inspire with heart healing for ourselves and others. So on history.com, I discovered that the origins of Mother's Day is celebrated in the United States, and we celebrate it around the world, but it originated actually as a holiday, an official holiday in the U.S., back in the 19th century. And well before it actually became an official holiday, Julia Ward Howe, who was a social activist and the author of Battle Hymn of the Republic, called on women to create this holiday, called on women to create a holiday for mothers. In 1870, this is going way back here, and this is really important, this little history lesson around Mother's Day. In 1870, during the aftermath of the Civil War, Howe wrote a Mother's Day proclamation as a call for peace. It began, she says, from the voice of a devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own. It says, disarm, disarm. And in the years before the Civil War, there was another woman who was actually affiliated with Julia Howe, Anne Reeves Jarvis, because there's actually another one, another Anna. So Anne Reeves Jarvis of West Virginia, she started the Mother's Day Work Clubs to teach local women how to properly care for their children. And Reeves was also a supporter, as I said before, of Howe's work. So these clubs that were created by Reeves later became a unifying force in a region of the country still divided over the Civil War. So in 1868, Jarvis organized Mother's Friendship Day. Love it. And at this Friendship Day, mothers gathered with former Union and Confederate soldiers to promote reconciliation. Yes. It was all about peace, reconciliation, connecting, and remembering that we are together in this world. It was about unity. So in 1912, many states, towns, and churches had adopted Mother's Day as an annual holiday. And this was due to Anna Reeves Jarvis's daughter. So Anna Jarvis created Mother's, lobbied and got established the Mother's Day International Association to help promote her cause. She then, there's many forms, she also got retailers to finance it, and I'll talk about that in a second. And then her persistence, the daughter's persistence, Anna Reeves' persistence paid off, and in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson signed a measure officially establishing the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. So as I said before, Anna Jarvis, in order to get this going, she collaborated with a department store for financial backing. And this was seen as a great financial opportunity for a Philadelphia department store owner named John Wanamaker. And Mother's Day from then forward was commercialized. And what was interesting about it is Anna Jarvis saw the holiday being warped for commercial purposes and until her dying day tried to revoke the day as a holiday because it lost what its essence was about. Jarvis believed that companies had misinterpreted and exploited the idea of Mother's Day and that the emphasis of the holiday should be on sentiments, not profits. So it's really interesting. Mother's Day was conceived by Anna Jarvis as a way of honoring the sacrifices of mothers made for their children. It was around reconciliation, unity, and peace. Another little interesting fact is the flower of Mother's Day was the carnation. Very interesting. Carnation is not my favorite flower. But when I heard this, I was actually, you know, that's interesting. I might actually look at a carnation differently now. And in particular, the white carnation, it was the symbol of Mother's Day. Jarvis explained in a 1927 interview, the carnation does not drop its petals, but hugs them to its heart as it dies. And so too, mothers hug their children to their hearts, their mother's love never dying. That's just beautiful. So the Mother's Day that we celebrate today had its origin in the peace and reconciliation campaigns of the post-Civil War era. And during the 1860s, at the urging of Anna Reeves Jarvis, and her daughter, we now celebrate Mother's Day. And I thought it was really a kind of cool to sort of start from this point of view of where did Mother's Day come from? And there's many, many, honestly, it even goes further back, you know, in the church, in the, you know, pagan times. But the official day, Mother's Day, that we celebrate now is from this. And I love that it's a peace, it's around peace. And that so resonated with me. And I'm going to tell you my story. So I'm a mother of two wholesome, caring human beings. And honestly, I'm so grateful because I was not supposed to be a mother. Due to modern science, my husband and I were able to conceive after trying for over 3 years. Honestly, I tried to control everything. I thought I could conceive and have my first child exactly on the date that I wanted the child to be born. But when I realized this was my first lesson, that I don't have any control. And that's one of the biggest lessons as a mom, that there is a divine plan. So my daughter, Emily, she was to be born when I finally did conceive and I was pregnant. She was to be born on Christmas Day, which was like the worst day to have a child, in my opinion, because they have to celebrate Christmas and their birthday, and it's a very busy time. So again, totally divinity, nothing to do with me. And not only that, but my best friend was also pregnant, and after, you know, I've been trying for over 3 years and we ended up being pregnant at the same time. And we had both our girls 5 days apart. Total magic. Emily was born on December 27th. And my daughter's friend Pierre, her daughter who was born, Michaela, was born 5 days later. There was so much divine timing and gratitude and how that all fell into place. This is my story. And I realized one of the biggest things, and I didn't know about the origins of Mother's Day, until honestly I was doing this show and researching it. Because when Emily was born, when she was born, I had the same feeling as Anna Jarvis. I was like, wow, why do we have wars? All I could think of was, this is the most beautiful human being I've ever seen. I've never felt so much love for any other human being ever. And I also realized that, you know, I was her guardian. I was her caretaker. That she was not mine. She's not mine. She was something and still is something. She's part of something bigger. Something way bigger, and she's her own person. And this feeling of peace. Why would we ever go to war when we create such beautiful, beautiful beings? Why would we ever want to take that away? So realizing that this Mother's Day was actually around peace and reconciliation and unity. When I was telling this story to a friend, she said, oh, you know what? That sounds just like a poem I know. So I looked it up. And again, I did not know this until I was getting my show ready. And it, again, resonates exactly how I felt and still do as a mother. This poem is from Khalil Gibran. I probably am not saying that correct. I know that for those listening on the show. Khalil Gibran said in his poem, your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughter of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. Love it. So coming back to the heart of a mother is this deep realization of peace for me. And it wasn't just peace on earth, but it was also my own inner peace. My children have been my biggest blessing, as well as my biggest some of my biggest learning lessons. And when you have children, you are forced to be in the now. And I was, plus when you're breastfeeding, it also helps because it really connects you to another human being. And there was so much peace. I was so grounded and peaceful when my children were very little. I still am, but what happened for me as the heart of the mother is it allowed me to remember what peace is. And having my children has allowed me to become a lifelong learner of the journey of discovering peace and being in peace. So at the time that I had my daughter, another realization also happened. I was in the middle of taking care of my father's estate. He had just passed. It was very complicated. My father had a very hard life, and his affairs were complicated and chaotic, and I was the curator as well as executor of his estate. I'm holding my young child and I'm dealing with all these relatives and aunts, uncles, cousins, and I'm starting to see patterns appear. At the time, I did not know I was a meaning maker and I could see patterns, but I did see them. And in that moment, I remember proclaiming, no more, no more. Those patterns, those family dynamics are not going through to my child. They stop here. And that's magic in a form, because when you actually become aware of something that doesn't serve you anymore and you invoke with a defined no, with a period, no with a full period, you actually stop the patterns. I also had to take action to make sure that those patterns didn't continue. But it was a recognition that those patterns, those ancestral burdens, I'm going to call them, were not to be passed down anymore to my children. And as a heart of the mother, it was my responsibility to see them and to do the work. And that work actually was for me, because anyone who's listened to my podcast, I always say you do you. So the work was first to start with me. By me doing the work, by me following, trusting the process and healing, I was healing my children. I was healing patterns that were going to be, would have been passed down to them. I was allowing them to create their own, be masters of their own destiny in life without this programming dragging behind them. This is my story, the heart of the mother. So to go back to Emily, so we had medical intervention so we could have a child. I was actually in the middle of filling in adoption papers when I found out I was pregnant. So when we wanted to have a second child, there was less than a 50% chance that we could have a second child. So when I became pregnant with my son, I was over the moon, overjoyed, and grateful. Again, it's divine timing. It was not on my, quote unquote, my time. My son Charlie was born when my husband was doing his final medical residency exams, and we were in the middle of moving, and we moved to a new city. So it wasn't exactly what I would have liked. And I realized I had no control over this, and I had to let it go. And being a mom, you know, there are moments, there are so many beautiful moments, and then there are a lot of challenges. Challenges of being up all night with a colicky baby. And Emily, as a newborn, struggled too. She could not latch on, and she was fighting to feed and survive. She had failure to thrive, and we had nurses coming in every other day. And it was also the 1998 ice storm in Montreal, so we had no electricity or heat. You know, there's challenges being a mom. You know, being up all night with a feverish baby. Being up all night just because the baby doesn't want to sleep. Or the baby gets up really, really early and you haven't slept all night. So, you know, it's kind of fun doing this show of the mother of the heart, because my children are now 20 and 23, and to kind of go back to that time when they were just little, those memories of my babies. Really cool. And I also want a deep gratitude. The other part that helps is a tribe. I was part of a group called Mom and Tots. And anyone, any new mom out there, I strongly urge you to be part, even if it's part of Zoom, to connect to a tribe. Because you know what, being a mom, there is no guidebook. And what was okay in the past is changed in the present. So there was having a tribe of women going through similar times, similar things, was really big support. And I'm still friends with all of them, or most of them, 20 and 23 years later. Like Anna Reeves Jarvis, she saw the importance of supporting mothers, and her daughter conceiving Mother's Day as a way of honoring the sacrifices mothers make for their children. This is big. Really, you know, what, and there's so many parts to this, and I had to keep it down to six. Six core parts of what is the heart of a mother. And again, I can only give you my perspective. So the six core hearts of the heart of a mother is love, number one. Two is gratitude. Three is forgiveness. Four is learning. Five is letting go. And six is creating. I couldn't resist. As a mom, there's just nothing like a baby laughing. The first one is love. And I have never known a deeper love than that for my children. My children are part of me. They're part of my heart. When they hurt, I just want to envelop them and take away all the hurt. And when they were younger, I could shield them. But as they get older, and it's always an evolution, one baby step in front of the other, I can't shield them anymore. Not in the same way. They are their own person. And of course, I don't want them hurt. But part of life is learning from your mistakes. And part of a mom is stepping back. As I evolve into children who are adults, it's stepping back and just being there as a supportive, somebody once called me a tree, a very rooted tree, and for them to know that I'm here, but really, and that I love them deeply, no matter what, and to guide them when they need the guidance. But now it's time that they actually have their own wings and they're flying. So it's also to let them fly, and that's part of love, is to also allowing them to fly. And so love is not, it's not about holding on. It's actually about letting go. And let me just say that again. Love is not about holding on, but of letting go. And that's one of my wisdoms of the heart of a mother. The second is gratitude. Every moment is held with gratitude. The baby's first smile. The baby's first laugh. The baby's first steps. The child's first drawing. The beautiful little bouquet that they give you of wildflowers. Maybe even some of the flowers out of your garden. The child's first bike ride. The youth's first time in school. First day in school. Their first time away from home. Their first graduation. Their second graduation. Their third graduation. Their fourth graduation. So many celebrations. So much to be grateful for. The gratitude of being a mother is really appreciating the now, in this now. I get to sort of reflect, and I'm grateful for that. This one's around gratitude. I'm grateful that I'm able to reflect back to those moments when my children were young and all these milestones. But really, the gratitude comes in the now. The heart of a mother is living in the present moment. while I was typing, getting my show ready, a song came on. And I'm like, oh, that is so perfect. How wonderful life is when you're in the world. How wonderful life is when you're in the world. The next one is forgiveness. Beautiful forgiveness. There's a saying that when the child is born, the next one that comes out is guilt. Just run around as moms with shame and guilt, mostly guilt all the time. So being a mom, the heart of a mother is to forgive. It's just such an important step. Otherwise, we're just dragging this baggage along. And like I said earlier on, I chose not to drag it with me. I don't want it. It's not coming through my children. But I have to do the work. And part of the work is forgiveness. There's no perfection in being a mom. You can't control. There's no control being a mom. You might think that you have control, but really you don't. It's all about flow. And once I tapped into really understanding flow, oh my Lord, did it ever get easier? When you say with ease and flow, it really is with ease and flow. So the prayer I use, the Ho'oponopono prayer, I will often say, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I've done this prayer for myself. I've done it to my parents, living and non-living. I've done it for my children. I've even done it for my ancestral lineages. And I do it 3 times. 3 is the magic number. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Holding on to the bitterness, resentment, anger, doesn't do anything. It harms me more, and it does not really allow me to energetically flow. And what that means is, as a mom, as a mother, the heart of a mother is to tap into the love, into the unconditional, into the compassion for myself and others. And in order to do that is to forgive. So gratitude and forgiveness for all the mothers before us. They did the best they could with the wisdom they had. Gratitude and forgiveness for all the mothers before us. They did the best they could with the wisdom they had. And I hope one day my daughter and son say that about me, because definitely I have my ups and downs. Not a perfect human being in any form. It's a lifelong lesson. And we do the best we can with what we have. And this show, Heart Healer, is about giving you tools if you're not aware, or even better, you might be aware of these tools you have, but we don't realize how important they are. So my show is just to bring them back into the forefront. Because the next one is about learning. There's this great quote by Deborah Gilbert Rosenberg. New mothers enter the world of parenting feeling like Alice in Wonderland. Being a mother is one of the most rewarding jobs on earth and also one of the most challenging. Motherhood is a process. Learn to love the process. There is a tremendous amount of learning that takes place in the first year of your baby's life. The baby learns a lot too. It is sometimes difficult to reconcile the fantasy of what you thought motherhood would be like and what you thought you would be like as a mother with reality. Take care of yourself. If mommy isn't happy, no one else in the family is happy either. New mother generally needs to lower their expectations. A good mother learns to love her child as he is and adjust her mothering to suit her child. Learning is such a big part, and I'm going to put self-awareness within this piece of learning. I have a model called the Transformational Trust Model, and it's around self-awareness, others, which is communication and relationships, and energy. And a big part of this process is become aware of you. As a mom, our children are our greatest teachers because we have to evolve. As they're growing and evolving, we're growing and evolving. When I did when I learned in my coaching practice, I had to do assessments. I had to learn them and learn them for myself. And one of my biggest aha moment in my self-awareness piece was my strengths. Knowing my strengths. Embracing my strengths. It has been not only super helpful for me as a human being, but also for me as a mom. Because I'm dealing with these other amazing human beings. And for us to interact in a relationship that's cohesive and in harmony, I needed to do the work. I'm the one who needed to do the work. Some of my strengths, they're great, but when they're overdone, it can cause conflict. So one of my strengths is caring, and caring overdone is smothering. Yep, smothering. In business, it would be micromanaging. So I had to become aware of that and use it as a strength and not an overdone strength, because I like harmony, quite honestly, and it didn't serve me and it didn't serve others for me to be overdoing my strengths. My other one is I'm motivated, which is great as a coach, I'm motivated to help people achieve results. And that works really well in my profession. And here, that's why I do the podcast, to help people achieve results. But when you're a mom with a teenager, that's not always the greatest thing. They need to do it on their own. So when I'm trying to help them achieve results and I meddle, honestly, that's kind of the word used, meddling, then it creates conflict again. So I had to realize when my strengths, things that motivate me, and how to adjust them to others. And that's part of the process in relationship and communication, is understanding others' needs, what are my needs, and then learn how to navigate it so that it works for everyone. So it's been, you know, it's an ongoing process. Lifelong learning. I mean, honestly, that's the heart of a mother, is lifelong learning. It's not my way or the highway. I'm in this for the long run. It's going to be until the time that I pass through the veil, I will always be learning. It's part of the process. It's part of the process, ongoing. It's an ongoing process, and the learning is to love myself, to forgive myself, and to let go. Letting go is the fifth heart of the mother. Surrender. Surrendering to the process. Letting go of perfection, the perfect sleeping patterns, people pleasing, having it all, you know, the career, the perfect hair, the clean house, the long to-do list, the insecurities, and letting go of the old me. As a mom, there's moments of, oh, I wish I was, you know, free again and young again and doing this and doing that. So it's slowly just letting go of those things and having a lot of compassion around it, because as a mom, you're evolving into your highest self. Because you are basing it on love, this foundation of love for these other human beings. being a mom is the greatest lesson, honestly, in compassion, in tenderness, and again, being in the now. Surrendering is acceptance. Surrendering happens after forgiveness. You forgive, you accept, and you surrender. And what you're doing is you're surrendering is accepting this flow of life. Because there's so much magic. Not to hold on too tight. Because there's so many beautiful surprises, so many possibilities that occur that I would never, ever imagined. And these lessons of letting go of control. Letting go of control. And the last one is creating. Mothers are creatrix. Yes, creatrix. A creatrix is a woman who is deeply connected to herself as a woman and the feminine source of creative power. A creatrix owns her shadow side and her vulnerability. Being a mother, I've had to face my triggers, my wounds, embrace my healing path. Being a mother, I have learned that I am a creator. My biggest creation are my two gorgeous children. My biggest creation is me embracing this path of healing and growing and learning, of letting go and forgiving and loving deeply. I am in an amazing course called Wild and Wise Women with Tara Wild. And one of her books that she recommends, so pertinent to today's show, is a book by Sharon Blackie called If Women Rose Rooted, A Life-Changing Journey to Authenticity and Belonging. As a mother, I also feel and understand the link to Mother Earth. To really embrace my motherhood, my creatrix, myself as a creator, is my link to Mother Earth. In the book, Sharon Blackie talks about the different archetypes of mothers. So in Jungian terms, the Earth Mother is a reflection of the Good Mother archetype, the source of abundance and protection who stands in opposition to the archetypal Terrible Mother, the witch, the siren, or whore, who is associated with sensuality, danger, darkness, and death. Don't totally agree with that. I don't think it's a little harsh saying Terrible Mother. The sensual mother, or the rooted in her sensuality, in her body, would be more like it. And so that I have a bit of an issue with the Terrible Mother archetype terms. But the trouble with the Earth Mother is that not everyone is that archetype either, or that they can cope with living like that. So there's another archetype. It's called from a Mayan tradition, called the Creative Rainbow Mother. And this Creative Rainbow Mother archetype, she has the energy of a seer, the priestess, the artist, the poet. She inspires her children rather than doing everything for them and living through them. She also needs to fly free. Whilst the Earth Mother finds immense comfort, safety, and satisfaction in marriage, domesticity, growing food and children, and enjoys order around her. The flip side of the Creative Rainbow Mother, which is interesting, is the Crazy Woman. depressed, unable to touch her power, tied, numb, self-medicating, addicted. And this will happen if the mother spends all her time out in the world or serving others. So there are many, many ways to mother. Nothing is fixed. Nothing is rigid. And you can be different types of these archetypes. I honestly am a little bit, I'm Earth Mother as well as definitely this creative rainbow mother who needs to fly free. And I have embraced both. And I've embraced the terrible mother. And I've embraced the crazy. And because there are moments it's all of them. So not to get too defined, but to sort of just be very open to these different archetypes, being very open to the wholeness of what a mother, the heart of a mother is. And again, it's trusting the process of loving, forgiving, learning, letting go, and creating in your world. It's all of them. So I'm going to close off today, and there's so much more we could talk about the heart of a mother. Each one of you I know has your own experience, your own perspective. But just reflecting back at those moments in time, reflecting back into this moment in the now, and gratitude and compassion for yourself. I'm going to do a little meditation. If you can, just relax. I'm going to have a little music playing in the background. So sit comfortably in a quiet place where you're free from distractions. This is the Mother Meditation, and it's from mindfulnessexercises.com. As you're sitting there comfortably, just breathe in and breathe out. And as you breathe out, let your hips feel heavy into your seat. As you breathe in, feel a subtle sense of lifting upwards through the crown of your head. Let breath guide you into a natural, neutral position of your spine. Stay present with breath as you close your eyes. Breathe gently, slowly, and quietly in and out through your nose. Let energy settle. And yet at the same time, feel the alertness of your awareness, its clarity and luminosity. As you sit here with your breath, open up to the possibility that you've been here before. You've lived countless past lives, infinite past lives. And in each of these past lives, you had a mother. And you've had an infinite past mothers. And so it only makes sense that all the beings now in this world have at one time been your mother. Maybe in a past life. Maybe in a life 1 million years ago. But everyone has been your mother. And as your mother, these beings have all cared for you, loved you, cherished you. These mothers spent several months of their own lives carrying you through discomfort in body and mind, through all sorts of hardships. They did their best to ensure a healthy birth. Breathe in and breathe out. And once you came into this world as a helpless, completely dependent human child, your mothers, because of their love for you, fed you from their own body, kept you warm and swaddled you, soothed you and held you, and did their best to ensure your survival. As you grew older, your mothers taught you so many things, how to feed yourself, how to dress, how to tie your own shoes, how to speak. Every part of who you are today is thanks to your mothers, who did everything they could do with what they knew and what they had available to ensure your success. Open yourself to a deep sense of gratitude for the care and kindness and love of your countless mothers. And then notice how your mothers, everyone that you see around you today, are each hurting in some way. Just like you, your mothers experience hardships and pain. They're unsure of where to turn for help, making mistakes that cause them future suffering. But here you are, meditating, learning, growing, becoming more mindful, more aware, and more open-hearted with every breath. Anyone can save all your mothers. It is you. Breathe in. Breathe out. Open yourself again to that deep feeling of gratitude. Aware that everyone you see in this world was once your mother. And as your mother, sacrificed so much for you, gave you so much love. And in that deep sense of heartfelt gratitude, generate a wish. The wish that you could repay your mothers, repay them for their kindness, repay them for their unconditional love, their care, and understand that there is no one more capable of carrying out this wish than you. You can be the one to repay all your mothers. You can be the one to lead them home, away from their pain and suffering. You can be the one to show them what a wonderful world we live in, of compassionate, loving, caring, and kind people, what it really looks like. You can be the one to show them how to walk a path towards freedom. Say the following wish silently to yourself. May I be the one to repay all my mothers for their compassion, their kindness, and their love. And don't just think it with your head, but feel it within your heart. Feel the wish in your heart of gratitude, your heart of kindness, your heart of infinite love. May I be the one to repay all my mothers for their compassion, their kindness, and their love. Deep gratitude to all of you at this time, wherever you are, in whatever form you are as a mom-to-be, a mom that has been, someone with a mom. I wish you all heart-centered, energetic, beautiful compassion and love. Again, deep gratitude to the mothers, all of you, to the earth mothers, the creative rainbow mothers, and all the matriarchs, to all that have had mothers, to love, to forgive, to let go, and to create your world from a heart space. This circle is open but never broken. I will be back again in 2 weeks. Deep gratitude for all of those who gave great suggestions for topics. If you have a topic that is centered for you in your heart space that you would really like me to talk about, please message me. I'm really, really looking forward to the next 2 weeks. And reveling in the creative process of Heart Healer. Deep gratitude and happy Mother's Day.